Triple M Speed Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome to the podcast, Marto and Margo, Wednesday the 20th of January.
Can we go
Lots
home
of
yet?
Fun. No, not just yet. We just got to do this podcast intro.
Hello.
You know what is Marto serving us well is that audio device I inserted at the Broncos. Like, we are getting so much inside
such
dirt.
Such great stuff, Marto.
Do you want to tell us in this exclusive podcast intro where you hid the microphone, which you will hear a piece of leaked audio coming up in the podcast?
There's not just one. I've got the whole joint bugged.
Bugged.
I went in there, Dave, when they built the $30 million the new structure there 3 years ago. I was there before. Actually, while we were doing the... I give up.
Don't lie. You had Dobbo do it for you because he gets where water can't.
The simple fact is, now you were saying a good idea. Payne Haas might be in trouble now, but might end up as the captain. So we may follow the Haas family around because they're an upstanding family, as we find out on today's show.
We might have to get Dobbo on tomorrow and find out what is going on there. But also, Andrew McCulloch. Is he leaving the Broncos to go to the Dragons, Marto?
Well, I would if I was him. They've already embarrassed him 2 years ago. Then he came back simply to make some money.
Mm.
He doesn't feel wanted at the Broncos, obviously. Why did you ask me that? That wasn't on today's show.
No.
All right. Some exclusive content for the
tomorrow.
Podcast intro. Mm. Hey, coming up, we did big names in your workplace. That was really fun. Weird Facebook groups. Margo's having a midlife crisis. About what? We'll keep listening. We'll find out.
Big show today.
Huge show. Let's kick it off. Marto, you were at the Gabba yesterday for the last day of the cricket.
Historic test victory yesterday. I think the facts are India, for 91 years, they've been playing test cricket at the Gabba. They chased the most number of runs to win a test match in a fourth innings. Incredible.
Is it like 30 years or something they've not won a game there?
No, Australia hasn't been beaten by anybody
yeah.
in the whole cricket world
Never.
For 36 years or something or other. And yesterday, the Indians took it
wow.
on. On the paper, that looks unbelievable. And it was unbelievable. And it's historic and everything else. And it was their junior India team.
It was all that resilience you were talking about with those Indians.
I know. They've become tough. But did I say yesterday when we leave here about 10 or so in the morning, we usually say, what are you doing today?
Mm.
Did I say I was going to the cricket?
No, you didn't.
Exactly. I was an accidental hero.
Did you go?
About 11 o'clock, a mate rang and he said, about 10:30. He rang and I was on my pushy and I pulled up because he's a mate from Toowoomba. He said, there's seven of us coming down from the mountain. We might be able to fit you in. They had a box.
Oh.
Okay. And I said, oh, interesting. Okay. He said, whatever you're doing, the Savo, clear the decks.
Wow.
All right. So I did. I get home. He said, you'll hear from us in half an hour if we're on. I thought, that'd be unreal. Go to the last day of the cricket.
Yeah.
Anything could happen.
Anything.
Get home. Hadn't rung. So it's now about 5 to 12. Kath says, oh, hi, Dales. And she hasn't started back at work. She said, do you want to go to the movies? I went, check my phone. Nothing. I went, yeah, I got nothing on the Sav. That'd be great. We haven't been to the movies together for,
That's
it
cute.
Could be 8 to 10 years.
Did you hold hands?
We didn't go to the movies because about 2 minutes later, so I'd already agreed.
No.
The drive with, what's his name, the big unit, Eric Banner.
You
thought that'd be great.
You
2 minutes
out.
Later. No. The boys from Toowoomba said, we're on. We've got you in. And my pass came through, so I've had to break the news to Kath at the romantic. Anyway, let's forget about the movies. I'm at the cricket.
You're at the cricket.
With a beer in my hand at 12:30.
How
oh, my
good.
God. It, got
it
a
was
little...
a gold coin donation yesterday, too, wasn't it?
Oh, these boys had
didn't
a box.
Have to buy tickets.
They're in a box.
No, but everybody else.
One guy said, I've got to work. I can't come to the box. Give it to Marto. Here I am. Unreal. And then we just couldn't take any bloody wickets. We were, you know, I keep on saying, oh, best pace attack, best bowling attack in the world. Couldn't do anything. And then the Indian, which I call Brindians, Brisbane's Indians are incredible. The Brindians started to get a bit, well, confidence. This is 3 o'clock. They hit a four. And it was a pretty dull day. Cricket goes for a long time, okay? And then about 3:30, they started to get a sniff.
Let's listen to the crowd.
Boys ordering another beer.
Excited.
A bit more applauding.
It's about 4 o'clock, and we're going, hold on, they only need about 5.5, 6 runs and over, and they could do this. People started going, we haven't taken enough wickets. There a chance here. Right, that's about 4 o'clock.
Getting louder.
Yeah, getting louder.
This is not audio off the TV. This is audio
off
your
my phone
at the actual ground.
I just had it turned on for a couple of minutes every once in a while, and they were scoring fours. There was more and more Brindians. They'd obviously rung their mates and gone, we're on here.
Get at the Gabba.
We're on here. Every Brisbane Indian. And these kids.
Bring the dollar.
These 10-year-old kids, like they're, there, Aussie cricket fans. Yeah. You turn around, go Gary the Goat, and you turn around, it's a little 10-year-old Indian kid. Yo, he's a brilliant. Yeah. It was magnificent how they supported their team. 4:30.
Were you excited for them, Marta?
We were. We're all... There was 8 middle-aged men drinking beer going, I think we're the only people who aren't haven't originated at some stage from India. And we're feeling swamped. We went, this is unreal. They're going to do it. And we started to hate our own team going, come on, India, as they did, 4:30.
Gets it through.
That's when they win.
This is the end, 5:30. Listen to that crowd. You would have sworn there was 4,000 people there yesterday, and it sounded like 50,000 by the end. Yeah. I've got to acknowledge, India were better than us. They were tougher. They cared. And our little self-entitled bubble boys, Ferrari-driving bubble boys, can go and get stuffed. I know Crash Craddock's coming up in half an hour. He'll give us a proper analysis. But what I saw yesterday... was a
spirit
confident bunch
heart.
Of hungry people.
They wanted it more.
They wanted it so much more against a bunch of 30-year-olds who get paid far too much. Australian cricket, you're almost dead.
The Big Breakfast, Triple M. Big names in your workplace. They're all over the place. The big names in your workplace.
I don't need to have a look at my watch. What day is it?
It's Wednesday.
The celebrities that you see. Can you imagine if you're working at your Euros shop and Gary Lyon and Dave Warner come in to get a couple of Euros with chips?
I had Euros yesterday, actually.
Oh,
how
did you?
Good is lamb?
Oh, I know. How expensive.
So good.
But this is what it's about when a celebrity walks in. Oh, I've torn my tyre and oh my God, is that Sam Neill? Oh, hello, Sam.
133353, big names in your workplace. Here's some calls that we've had in the past. Let's have a listen to these.
In the bottle shop, and who but not least walked through the door was Marilyn Manson and his manager.
Kedron Domino's. It was Peter Beattie.
I was at the casino working and I was taking up a room service. Lou Reed opened the door and he was bare butt naked.
Oh, we've had some names. Celebrities, sporting stars,
actors, singers,
Broncos players. We've had the lot.
Hold on. Can we launch an early one here? Norm, how are you, mate? Norm from Caboolture.
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah, well, who have you got? A celebrity? Oh, well, first of all, where were you working?
Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah.
Okay, so like a Bronco or a football player?
A band player, like
Oh, they have concerts there, of course.
Oh, right.
They have concerts, yeah. I get to see them all.
Yeah, all right. So who did you have an interaction with?
It was Bono and the group as they walked up the stage.
Bono. What did you do, Norm? Did you approach him? Did you say hello? Did you ask for a selfie, or did you just play it cool?
What was it like?
We can't do that. We gotta stay sort of. We gotta stay our distance.
You gotta be socially distanced.
So you just watched him walk past.
Step away from the celebrity, Norm.
Norm, I may as well have rung up 133353 and said, oh, I saw Bono on TV. Mate, listen.
No, it still counts.
We
love you, Norm.
He's not winning today. Thank you, Norm.
Angelique from Aspley, good morning.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Angelique, tell us, where were you working?
It was many years ago. I was working at the Kedron Wavell Services Club.
Oh, what a club it is too. I used to be a member, Angelique.
What do you mean used to be, Marta?
Oh, well, because mum lives around the corner from there, and then I let it lapse. I was like two. What's membership there these days, Angelique? $2 or $5?
I've got no idea. No. I haven't worked there for a long time.
So you're working there, Angelique. What were you doing?
I was working in HR at the time.
Okay.
And we were having a marketing day, and Michael Voss came into the club.
Bossy.
Good Lord. To address your marketing team or just to play the pokies?
No, marketing purposes.
Oh, okay. What were you laughing at? Some of us, you know, like the pokies.
Were you accusing Carry on. Michael Voss of being a gambler?
How was he? Was he talking to your leadership group?
Well, yes, he was, and I was obsessed with the Brisbane Lions at the time, in particular Michael Voss.
It was the height of the Brisbane Lions, wasn't it?
Yeah, was this during the era of Michael Voss?
Was that, like early 2000s?
Early 2000s, yeah.
Angelique, do you look back now and go, you got embarrassingly close to him at times? HR?
Well, I was too scared to even ask for his autograph, so one of my colleagues did that for me, and then before he left, he called for me to come and see him, and he gave me his shirt off his back.
Oh, did you have to write yourself a sexual harassment claim?
Hold on. What did he wear home? A kit, your shirt?
Well, he just flexed and walked away.
Thinking back, I can't remember. I don't think he had a shirt on.
Oh, my God. Wow. What a day, Kendra and Wavell. Angelique, there's so much wrongness there.
Steamy under the collar. Marto's burner phone. We've had a few texts come through. Mm. Mark from the Sunny Coast said he was working as a fiery in Tasmania and they looked after Eric Banner after he rode his car off in the Targa Tasmania rally.
Oh, I wish I could talk to Mark because he ran into that tree. I saw it in the doco or the movie about that car. It was incredible. He could have died that
day. Could have died.
Hold on. Here's Dion from Regent's Park. Yeah, Dion, where were you working?
I was out at a work Christmas party.
Yes,
at
righto.
At the German club, and Margot's husband couldn't get in because he wasn't a member.
What's your name? What's your husband's name?
I'm not mentioning his name ever again.
Okay, so let's... Margot's husband.
Yep. So we got him in, and I'd been given a Melbourne Storm football. So we traded him to sign a Melbourne Storm football to get him into the German club.
Wow, what
would
a day.
Would that have been painful for him, Margot?
No. He would have just wanted to get in the German club. He would have done whatever you asked.
A nice chilled Pilsner.
Yeah, he had a good laugh.
Hey, Dion, give the German club a plug. It's a mighty good place for pork knuckles,
so
isn't it?
So good.
It is a great place for pork knuckles.
There's Brisbane's leading
the
pork
food's
knuckles.
Good too.
Michael from Shaler Park, lucky last. Take us home, mate. Who'd you see? Where were you working?
I was working at Village Roadshow Studios.
Down the goal on the right there on the way to the Gold Coast near Movie World.
Michael?
That's it.
What do you do down there?
I work on the fire alarm systems there.
Oh, my God. You could pick up the award every week.
Well, they do lots of movies. They film lots of movies down there, Michael. So you would have seen a slew of celebrities. Who would be the biggest one you reckon you saw down there?
Biggest as size would be after Jason Momoa out of Aquaman.
Aquaman. Momoa.
The big Samoan.
Yes, Momoa. That's it. No, he's Hawaiian. He's not Samoan. He's Hawaiian.
Sorry, American Samoan. Sorry.
Who cares? What he is gorgeous.
Hey, listen, any interaction between you and he?
Yes. So... he was in the makeup section getting tattoos done for the film Aquaman.
Yeah.
And I walked in there and I said, listen, I'm just going to set the fire alarm off. No need for any concern, but if you see me running, try and catch up. And so I could see he had a bit of a sense of humour, and he's got no shirt on. I looked at him, I said, do you need a body double for this movie?
Oh, God. Nothing worse than a cheeky fire alarm guy.
And when he cracked up, I wiped a smile from the face. I said, that wasn't a joke.
And
he just lost it.
Oh, and now they're best friends. Yeah.
Good guy, Michael, because he's a hottie. I know there's plenty of women out there who would lust over him.
Mike, are you talking about him or me?
Well, both of you.
Still going on. We might have found a third co-host for the show.
Michael bought his best gear for the show today.
I did. No, he is a genuine, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Excellent. Michael, fantastic story.
Two shirtless heroes in our celebrities in your workplace. That's wonderful.
Hey, we're going to give you a $100 voucher for Barbecue Mafia. Barbecue Mafia, smoking low and slow at Sherwood AFL. Now also available on Uber Eats. Thanks for sharing your story with us, Michael. Big names in your workplace. It's back next Wednesday on The Big Breakfast.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Oh, dear, there's trouble in the camp, Marto. Courier Mail article that ran maybe, a week ago now, week and a half ago, has caused some tension amongst the cricket wives and girlfriends.
Oh, is this the top 100 list?
Yeah.
Hold on. You mentioned that there was a lot of rugby league wives and girlfriends in there. There was a lot of AFLs.
It was the 100 most powerful wags. And obviously Queen Wag, Rebecca Judd, featured Megan Gale, dates an AFL player. She's in there.
Number two. The list was strange because number two was
Bernard Tomic's
girlfriend, Vanessa Sierra, whatever her name is, Sierra. It was all because of number Instagram friends.
Yeah, they're saying that it's based on Instagram followers, your business, success, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But there's a few disgruntled cricketers.
Now, I can remember the cricketers' wives weren't there. I did write it down. 9 out of the top 100 were cricketers' wives.
Yes. And half of them, I don't even know. I mean, we know Nathan Lyon, the GOAT, his girlfriend, Emma McCarthy, come in at number 74. She's back down the list a bit.
Pat Cummins'
wife, Beck Boston, come in at 61. Mm. Aaron Finch's wife, Amy, came in at 58.
But who are these
Tim
people?
Payne, the captain, his wife, she only come in at number 42.
But they probably don't want it. They don't care. They're just carrying on their lives.
No, I mean, the list is ridiculous. Whoever's writing this list in 2021 should be ashamed of their journalism. But anyway, it's good fun. Nevertheless, I'm just bitter because I didn't make the list at all. Kylie Clark obviously has moved on from Michael Clark. She was then with James Courtney.
Now she's with no one.
She come in at number 30. But this is where
she's still on the list.
Yeah, she's still on the list. This is where the problem lies within Mardo. Number 21, Steve Smith's wife, Danny Willis.
Oh, blondie hair. I know what she looks
lawyer,
like.
Lawyer, blondie.
What, plenty of followers on Instagram, I guess.
Yeah, but she got beat by someone that she didn't seem to be too impressed by, and that is David Warner's wife, Candace.
Where'd
Warner,
she come?
Of course, number 8.
Is this the article I see where there's a fight between the wakes? Is this what it is?
Mm-hmm.
What? Hold on. So Steve Smith's missus, or whatever she is, fiancée, she's saying that Dave Warner isn't as good a cricketer. He hasn't made as many runs, so why aren't I higher on the list?
Yeah, apparently it's saying one of the spouses was allegedly disappointed by her ranking and was shocked when she realised she was beaten by others. And others, she means Candace Warner because she come in at 8, but Erin Holland, Brizzy girl, Ben Cutting's partner, she come in at number 9.
Well, he just runs around playing T20.
So Danny Willis, Steve Smith's wife, seems to have got her nose a little bit out of joint coming in at number 21.
What? Now, he is known as the weirdo of the team. He does score plenty of runs, Steve Smith. Mm. So does she feel I have to put up with that, therefore I should be higher on the list? Is that what you're suggesting?
Mm, I know. It seems so petty.
Candace Warner, I got to put up with my husband's moustache.
Do you think they actually really care?
Oh, bloody hell. Well, you tell me.
I mean, I was a little disappointed. And that's the thing. I don't know why any of them are complaining, because at least they made the list. I mean, I didn't even get in the top 100.
Can I point out, this is coming from New Idea, known for its journalistic integrity.
Is that where the article is?
Yes.
I think there's another one during the rounds on Daily Mail.
Let's let it go.
Okay. Big Breakfast, Triple M. The Big Breakfast, Triple M. Thanks for checking out the podcast. You can get in touch with the show at any time. Triple M Brisbane on your social medias. And you can text Marto's burner phone any time of the day, 0484 10 1045. Coming up, the weird Facebook groups that you follow that you absolutely love. Marto.
Can I go talk about the Broncos? They seem to be, you know, remember before the holidays we said, oh, well, listen, they got Kevy on board. They've gone back to the old school values. Alfie's still there to advise him and run the water. Then he brought on Steve Walters, his brother, you know, get back to the old days. And Terry Madison, the first goal kicker for the Broncos in 88, he's back on board. And then the final piece of the puzzle seemed to be Petro Sivanasiva, who, I'll read this, Broncos Wellbeing Support Coordinator. Now, he's been brought in to help to talk to the Polynesian boys and to build some sort of bridges and stuff. And I'll tell you what, after the Payne Haas incident on the weekend, it was Petro's first bit of work that he got to do. And again, we've got those microphones in Broncos headquarters. Here's Petro and Payne.
Oh, hi, Payne. Come in. I'm Petro, and I'm the Broncos Wellbeing Support Coordinator. I'm here to help you with your issues.
What issues? Where did you go to uni?
Well, Payne, I'm not a proper social worker. I used to be you. I was the biggest, strongest Bronco of my era. But we used to win things that weren't the wooden spoon, like premierships.
Oh, yeah, but I'm from the Gold Coast and only 21. I can't remember the Broncos ever winning anything.
Now, Payne, you know the coach, Kevin?
Oh, yeah, Kevy, yeah.
Well, Kevin won 6 premierships. I know. And you know the water boy, the little fella?
Oh, Elfie.
Yeah, little Elfie. Elfie won 3 premierships and one of the greatest players ever to play.
Oh.
Now, around here, we used to be winners and we didn't do the wrong thing off the field in the past, apart from Elfie.
Petro, didn't they used to call you the brick with eyes?
Oh, no, Payne. That's Glenn Lazarus. I'm Petrol 70 cents a litre. That was the funny gag about my name. Actually, you need a name. Why don't we call you Pain in the Haas?
Oh, yeah, what the?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Marto, it's official. I am now closer to 40 than I am 30.
So?
I had my 36th birthday last weekend, in case you missed it.
I give up.
Well, how else can I reference it?
Dave, has that hit 100 yet?
I have to say it was my birthday. Close. I'm now 36 and I'm getting old, and now is the time to take
hold. Do you know what everyone
else
does, Margot? Can I just tell you, in case you're not aware, most people just have, when they turn 21, 30, 40, 50, 60, and then they're...
Well, life's short. You don't know how long you're going to be here for. Could, you know, get hit by a bus tomorrow.
A bit morose.
Could get sick, and so therefore you've got to enjoy every moment like it's your last. You know what they say?
1-3-5-3, is there any other person who's had an official birthday party with people invited and spending money for their 36th? No callers.
I love celebrating my birthday, but I'm now officially closer to 40 than I am 30.
Why didn't you get to 40 and then go on midlife?
And so now I kind of am like, oh, I'm getting older. I won't be able to do certain things anymore. So I've got to make the most of my youth while I still have it, on, like my enthusiasm and my physicality.
What are you going to do?
All those things are going to start leaving
and squash
me now.
Well, what are you missing?
You know, I'm on a quest to gain a jet ski because the thrill and the exhilaration with the wind in your hair and the salt water on your face as you crash through a wave. It's so exciting. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today.
Oh, good.
I feel like I went through this midlife crisis at the end of last year because I found myself shopping at a shopping centre with some girlfriends and our daughters. And we went into one of those like cosmetic places to find glitter because we had a dress-up party for New Year's.
Yeah.
And we needed to get some glitter, lots of glitter, all the hair glitter and the body glitter and the face glitter.
Did you find a grey hair?
No, I didn't.
Oh, wait until that happens.
I got my ears pierced.
Have your ears never been pierced before?
No, I've got just one hole. Now I have two. I got a second. That's what they call it. That's what the young kids call it.
I should know this, shouldn't I? In one ear.
They're like, do you have your seconds? And I'm like, yeah, I got my seconds.
Oh, tell me about seconds. Is that in one ear?
See, Marto?
Oh.
See, I officially now have two earring holes on one ear.
Can I defend myself? Because you wear your headphones and I can't see that until you just did that.
Yes. I've always
What does that mean?
I haven't had my ears pierced since I was 12. And then in December of last year, I decided I was going to get my seconds and retain or try and retain the youth. Right. And I was so excited. I was like, this is going to be great. You know, I'm still cool and young and hip. And I walked out. And as soon as I walked out, I looked at my girlfriends, you know, with anticipation for their approval and their excitement and their compliments.
Have they got seconds, just to tell me quickly?
A couple of them. Yeah, they both have seconds. And then a couple have a few more up the ear.
Well, they got third, you know, fourth and fifth. They're cool. That's a buffet.
Belly button rings. And, you know, I'm just new to this whole seconds thing.
Oh, my God.
And my 10-year-old daughter looked up at me and went, oh, yuck, you're too old for that.
Oh,
my little heart deflated. I never felt so judged. I never felt so empty. I was like, I am. I'm too old for this. I'm nearly 40. Oh, my God.
Never too old to hit your children. Never.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M with Marto and Grandma Margot.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo, I remember last week we were talking about, well, sort of offbeat, weird Facebook groups.
Yeah, well, I found myself somehow a part of Bacon Lovers Society and some sort of dog jumper and bed.
Hey,
wolf dogs and jumpers group.
It took me by surprise when I was asked to reveal some of the groups I'm involved with. And
you've
fishing.
Got heaps, Marto.
Well, I got into a lot of fishing ones like Flathead Queensland and stuff like that, but fishing, prawning, crabbing, southeast Queensland.
And the guys that run the page, they rang in and had a chat with us.
Yeah, I've just checked what's up lately, and there's one of the big boys from the page. He was demonstrating how to throw a cast net on his front lawn. He didn't catch any fish there, but just to show everyone else in the group, this is how you do it.
Riveting stuff.
I know.
Useful.
What about the bomb, the Bureau, what is it? The Bureau of Meteorology. They have a fan club. And 2 hours ago, there was a shower went through Majimba.
What is the actual name of the page?
Bureau of Meteorology Fan Club.
Fan Club. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not making this up. Why would I make it up? What an interesting bunch of people. And when you get involved, you go, I love weather. And you know I do.
Well, we had heaps and heaps of people ring in and tell us what some of the weird pages that they follow on Facebook. Let's have a listen.
It's called The Delinquent Side of Pubs Your Dad and Gramps Drank In.
I am fascinated by the Flat Earth podcast page.
We run the Southeast Queensland fishing, prawn and crabbing that Marto's.
That's what we want to hear. 1-3-3-5-3, the weird specific Facebook groups that you follow that you absolutely love. Call and tell us about them.
Subtle bogan traits. Remember I was talking about that?
Yes.
Here's one. Only having a tan on your right arm from driving.
Wonderful 353. We want to hear what Facebook groups you're a part of. No. Jennifer from Morayfield, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good. What weird Facebook group that you love that you are a part of?
It's actually my teenage daughter. So in amongst the corona lockdown, the first one, she joined a Facebook group called The Ant Colony. Now, it has millions and millions of people following it. And basically, it's people just saying strange things like found food and then millions of people commenting, lift, give it to the queen, like one after the other.
Wow.
It is just ridiculous. But they even have merch. You can buy a T-shirt that just says save the queen or lift or colony, whatever number.
Oh, that's so quirky. She just,
it is the strangest thing. She just is a member of a group full of people commenting in capital letters the same Jen, word that the person above them commented.
Jen, did you tell her when we were young you could actually buy an ant farm that's see-through and you could watch them building their paths? Have you told her about that?
Like, calm down, mate. She's far too edgy for that. Good Lord.
Too edgy. I love that.
Cameron from Acacia Ridge. Hello.
Yo, how are you?
You're on, son. What's the weird Facebook group?
Oh, mate, bad taxidermy.
Oh no.
I mean, taxidermy isn't great to start with, but what does bad taxidermy?
If you love your animal, you know, but if you get a bad one.
Do people actually do that?
Yeah.
Cameron, what sort of stuff do you see on this page?
Well, it's off my interest, Margo, because they had a post recently where they were making earrings out of toes.
Oh, that sort of thing.
Out of, like, animal toes? What?
Well, yeah, animal toes, all sorts of toes. They get pretty loose on there. There's one regular contributor who likes to make bondage scenes out of rodents, which is always pretty entertaining on a Monday.
Oh we've just been put onto it. An owl. Have you seen the owl with the dodgy mince pies?
Yes.
It looks like it's
like
peaking.
Yes. Oh. It looks like someone's...
That's what I should have done with Cookie and Pippi, perhaps, instead of cremating them and burying them like most people do.
Throw it on the right whiteboard, taxidermy, full stop.
No if you're one's getting, done that.
Oh, a mate of Nobody mine got his here. Cat done. It didn't love it all that much, but it's their doorstop at their front door.
It is like,
no way.
Oh, yeah, I'll take a photo for
it
you.
It is not.
Scotty Cam's got his dog above his bar. I've been to his bar and had a beer with him in Sydney. Got his dog
That's weird.
But do you think regular people taxidermy their pets?
Not regular
people. Anything about regular people.
Sam.
We're not after regular people.
Sam from Brackenridge, good morning.
Good morning.
Please don't tell me you have a taxidermied animal, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay, great. What weird Facebook page do you follow?
It's called Blokes and Their Zinger Boxes.
All right.
Like as in KFC Zinger Boxes?
I guess so.
That's the one.
So finished, half finished, dissatisfied, just bones? What do we got?
A bit of everything, you know, aesthetically pleasing Zinger Boxes, bad Zinger Boxes. It's normally just blokes posting photos of themselves with a Zinger box so everyone can give them a quick roast.
Sam, how and why do you follow said page?
Because I'm a 20-year-old with a bit too much free time.
Hey, contributor, perfect. Sam. Sambo, contributor, you put your photo on there?
I don't have the guts for that.
Oh, lift. In the words of Ant Colony, must lift.
I'll tell you why Sam follows it.
He loves it.
Triple M. Big breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
I think you'll find if you want to stay with it, you need to be listening to us. Oh, and also Channel 7 last news last night, they were pointing the way.
Keepers at a zoo in Victoria are training tortoises to behave like dogs. Rather than having to physically carry the animals back to their enclosures, they're using the lure of food.
Dog tortoises. Yes, that is right. Every influencer and groover will now be getting themselves a big tortoise.
Aren't tortoises like 100 and something kilos?
We're out to play fetch.
These were sort of medium, you know, medium like three dinner plates sort of
and
size.
And they're very slow.
Exactly. Can you imagine the tortoise off leash park? Oh, I'm just taking Percy down for a walk, 4 hours later, you're home.
Oh, that's the perfect name for a turtle pet.
He's one of the keepers.
I'll say, tortoises, tortoises, and I'll show them the big red bucket, and that immediately tells them, Ben's here with some food. We might be going back home. We'll get a nice reward.
Oh, shut up, mate. I can't stand zookeepers. Anyway, can you imagine? All right, so you go, oh, I'm just going down the park to play with Steve the tortoise. Oh, one throw. 2 hours later, you're finally home. Don't do it to yourselves. The Big Breakfast,
Triple M. Oh, well, all the news has been about the tennis players in lockdown and their lists of demands and complaints. And Djokovic is saying that they all need to have a private house with a tennis court so they can do their training in the lead up to the Open.
Because there's so many people would like to go, listen, we'll move out of our house and let some entitled tennis player have it for, what, a month? That'll be fine. No worries.
But yesterday we heard Bernard Tomic and his girlfriend Vanessa Sierra were telling us all about their lockdown. They've been playing Pokemon for 12 hours. They've been filming content for her OnlyFans page. And she did stress that it has been very difficult for her.
This is the worst part of quarantine. I don't wash my own hair. I've never washed my own hair. It's just not something that I do.
Now, we talked about this yesterday, Marto, and we kind of gave her a bit of a whack. Like every news outlet and everybody on Twitter, it's gone a little bit viral. Everybody on social media are saying that she doesn't know who her audience is, that she's self-absorbed.
Can I sneak one in?
Blah, blah, blah.
Can she use this time to probably finish grade 9 or 10 at school?
No, this is not what we're here to do. We're here to support her because
We need to heal.
Vanessa has taken to her social media account to let us know that she's received death threats.
That's not funny.
Over her hair joke. Anyone? Because it was just a joke.
Oh.
She said, if people actually watched my vlog, which is a video blog, instead of going off a news story with incorrect facts, they would see I was lighthearted about the entire thing and did not make any complaints. Simply did a daily vlog, as I always do, about my life and circumstances. I even said that I don't mind the food situation in quarantine. She didn't realise how many idiots are in the world, but thank you to all my amazing supporters who still have my back through this.
Oh, that's good. I'd like to help her.
I'm glad she cleared the air because we were also very concerned for her and her hair.
Maybe this. Can I just suggest that maybe this would have recontextualised it?
This is the worst part of quarantine. I don't wash my own hair.
Oh, I get it now. It was a joke.
Sorry,
can
I
as a joke, get a chainsaw, go to their hotel room, cut a glory hole thing and throw my hands in for a hairdresser to wash her hair?
Can I say, though, it is worth following her Instagram page. There's some pretty racy stuff on there, Marto, you might be interested in.
Not into that stuff.
But don't forget to spell Sierra with the letter 5, not the S, because, you know. She's an influencer.
Oh, my God. That's funny, too.
All right. We're just about at the end of the podcast. We're just going to take a quick break, and then we are back on with more cricket chat with the Courier Mail's Crash Craddock.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
At 5:38 yesterday afternoon, history was made.
Gets it through.
My shoulders slumped at that stage as Pad hit the winning runs and I left the Gabba and went, oh, my God, that was horrible. But then I think, no, that was fabulous for India. Crash Craddock, what a wonderful couple of stories you've written into this morning's Courier Mail, mate.
Thanks, Marto. Yes, I'm glad you went out. It was, being a sports tragic that you are, it was, there's times when a sports field almost feels as if it rises up out of the dirt and goes into the heavens, doesn't it? Sorry, there's my car just beeping, Marta.
Is your alarm's gone on, Crash?
Feel it.
Hold on, let's just talk about Crash, who you don't know about. He is like a mad professor in disorganised life, but you are a wonderful journo. But yesterday it was a day for all the Brisbane Indians, wasn't it?
Oh, it really was. And look, I remember casting an eye out to Vulture Street with about an hour to play and seeing a group of 5 of them not just jogging,
running,
sprinting towards the turnstiles. They didn't want to miss a moment. And I think it was that sort of event, wasn't it? And look, this Indian team, I love the way they conduct themselves. Their dugout was just below the press box. They celebrated with gusto, but nothing, you know, there was no rubbing anyone's nose in it. But they came here with a plan, Marto. They said that no one's won here in 32 years. So Ravi Shastri, the coach, said to him, boys, you're under no pressure. Just do your best. Lap it up. Enjoy it. Have a crack. And you know what? They play. I've never seen a team come here like that. Everyone says, right, now we've got to be disciplined. We've got to do this. They said, no, let's enjoy it. Let's have a bit of fun. And can you believe that attitude triumphed over a team who was weighed down by the burden I'm defending the fortress.
Just get out there and play, and play they did. Crashed. I don't know if there's any correlation. India have been hit pretty hard, you know, last year during the pandemic. Are they playing? Did that motivate them, do you think, maybe on some level to play for back home? Because the Indians are mad for their cricket, and they would have all been at home back in India watching from somewhere. And the adulation and the excitement and the celebration that would have been happening back in India may have just been the motivator that the Indian cricket team needed.
Exactly, Margaret. Well, they said it was watched by 90 million people in India.
Is that all? What were the rest of them doing? That's Washington the number of TVs. Sunder. It would have been 20 people per television.
Yeah, exactly. And Washington Sundar, their all-rounder, like his mum and dad set their alarm for 4:15 every morning to get up and watch it. And it has spellbound a nation. You're right. They've done it tough through COVID. But what has made a difference, Margo, is they've been in a bubble for some of these players for about 4 or 5 months. Indian team and their bubble in Australia, they've really bonded. You see these cheeky little photos on social media, like Rohit Sharma, their opening batsman, loves their match winner yesterday, Rishabh Pant, and posts photos of his bedroom, which looks as if it's been burgled and ransacked. Like, he's a real wicketkeeper's bedroom. There's pads on the bed. There's food everywhere. Like, it's a classic.
Crash, let's turn it over the other side. The Aussies, the repercussions of that loss and also the draw in Sydney, we're not invincible. Will a few people disappear from the Australian Test side?
Well, see, here's the problem, Marno. I mean, you're expected to pound the pulpit on this, but that's about the best we've got. Sure, Matthew Wade will probably go for South Africa. Yeah. And I can really get it. People think Tim Payne's time's coming to an end. But we have no logical alternatives. They don't really want to go back to Steve Smith as captain. No. And as you know from your sporting experience, sport doesn't breed natural captains now because everyone just is a follower, not a leader. Difficult times ahead, Marto. We've been put in our place. The bullies have been bullied.
That's so true. Let's leave it on that one, mate. The bullies have been bullied by the Indians, and what a historic day it was. Crash, you can read any of his articles every day in the Courier Mail or go online. Thanks for that, mate.
Pleasure, Marto. Thank you, Margo.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town. Triple M.